I wonder if we could turn to Psalm 23, and we're going to read through the Psalm, only six verses, of course, of Psalm 23. The Psalm 23, and we're going to read from verse 1 of the Psalm. Psalm 23, beginning our reading at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's unite again in a word of prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we do thank thee for the opportunity of meeting with thee afresh today. We thank thee for thy word here in the psalm. We thank thee for the one who is our shepherd. We can thank thee for each one who can say, the Lord is my shepherd. And we pray, our God, that thou wouldst draw near to our hearts today, and that thy power might be demonstrated as we seek to worship thee. Come, our God, and bless us and shut us in with thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. I want to take the first verse of the psalm as my text here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There 3,000 years have passed since the psalmist, the sweet psalmist of Israel, sung this song about the shepherd care of God. 30 centuries is a long time. And in that time, the world has changed. It certainly has changed a lot. Much that David knew in his day has mouldered into dust. We think of the harp on which he would have plucked the notes of the praise that he was writing here. That is gone. We think of the tattered banner that he would have raised in battle as he went into battle with the Lord. The mighty sword with which he cut off the head of the giant. We think of the chamber where he drew his last breath. All those things are now lying in the debris of the ages. But this psalm, though older than the time of Caesar and the time of Alexander the Great, is still as fresh today as it ever has been. What precious words they are. And down through the ages, what comfort they brought to so many. We think of the child at the mother's knee, and perhaps you personally can think back as this psalm is one of the first pieces that you ever learned in Sunday school. Or maybe you think of that day in the sick chamber when this psalm was read. Or in the time of death when some loved one had passed away. What a comfort was brought to you from this psalm. And whether it was the soldier on the sentry duty, or the Covenanter, or the Huguenot, or the Waldensian, or those that were martyred for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, this psalm has been a source of hope and a source of encouragement and comfort in the fears and the trials of life. And I want you to tell you today that whether you're weeping or worried, whether you're wayward or weak, whether you're wronged or wrathful, this psalm has something to say to you. But notice straight away that the psalm speaks of God's people as sheep. Now, of course, that is not too flattering. Perhaps as we think of the sheep is one of the dumbest animals. It can stray into trouble. It can get itself into all sorts of bother. And where one goes, the rest inevitably follow, whether that's over into the place of danger or whether it's into the place of blessing. They all go. And the sheep, of course, has a reputation for being stupid. They require the shepherd to protect them. They require someone that looks after all of their needs. And when the Lord called us sheep, it may not be too flattering for us, but He was right, because like the sheep, we are needy. And like the sheep, we have that special bond with the shepherd. The shepherd knows us intimately, as the shepherd should know the sheep. He knows the weaker ones. He knows the loyal ones. He knows our names. He knows all about us. And the sheep, despite their stupidity, know the voice of the shepherd. And thank God today we can know the voice of the shepherd. And we can say, each one that is saved in this meeting, that he is my shepherd. Now this psalm is often called the psalm of the crook, the shepherd's crook. It lies between the psalm of the cross and the psalm of the crown. If you look at the 22nd psalm, there you have the Lord as the good shepherd, laying down his life for the sheep. And in the 24th psalm, we have a vision of times to come, and there we have the great shepherd who comes to take the flock. But here in this psalm, we have the good shepherd. And here is this wonderful picture of God looking after us. There was a Methodist minister many years ago by the name of Dr. Charles Allen. And he had a friend who was very sick. And the friend went to the doctors to see if the doctor could help him in any way. He had literally worried himself sick. He had gone through such stress and strain that he had worried himself sick. And the physician suggested that the man should go and see his minister. It was the day when you were not sent to counsellors and psychiatrists, but you were sent to the minister who could apply the word of God. And when he came to the minister, Dr. Allen, Dr. Allen listened to his cause and began to think about what was going on. And he said, if you go to the doctor will give you a prescription. Take this tablet so many times every day. He says, what I want you to do is to go home and read the 23rd Psalm and read it 3 times a day for 7 days and then come back. And the man did that. He went home and he read the Psalm 23 3 times every day and came back the next week. And when he came back the next week, he was transformed. Because the message of the 23rd Psalm had got into his heart. And today maybe you're downcast and maybe you're weary. And maybe you're in trouble. And maybe you're in difficulty. And maybe you've worried yourself sick. Well, I want to apply the balm of the 23rd Psalm to your heart. And I want you to think of these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And thank God what was true of David in his day can be true of you and me in this day. There are a number of things about the shepherd and the saviour of our souls that I want you to see in this verse of scripture. And I want you to see, first of all, that the Lord is the subject of the text. Look at what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. It's the Lord who is the subject of the text. He is the shepherd. He's the one that the psalmist is drawing his attention to and our attention to. Our translators there, if you look at the text, have used small capitals in order to indicate the word Lord. And that would indicate in the authorized version that the word Jehovah is used. And that was a sacred name to the Jews. They would never pronounce the name Jehovah except once a year on the Day of Atonement. And Jehovah means the living one. It means the self-existent God. It is the one who is the I am that I am. The covenant-keeping God. The God of grace and the God of mercy. And David is able to say of this God of covenant, the great self-existent one, the God of majesty, he's my shepherd. Now that's a wonderful thing. You know, we should be filled with wonder and amazement when we think of that. You think sometimes how we get used to thinking about our salvation and the things of God and what God has made us. But thank God that the sovereign ruler of the universe has entered into a relationship with a poor, wretched lump of clay like you and me. And throughout the psalm, the name of God is mentioned 13 times, and the psalmist refers to himself 17 times. And so we have this great relationship that we have between God and ourselves. And I am glad today that we have a God in heaven who is able to do mighty things for us. There's a great orator one time, and a poor Christian, and they were to recite. It was a competition. It was a sort of a speech and drama thing. And the text that was set for the speech and drama competition was the 23rd Psalm. And this great orator got up, and with drama and with all sorts of emphasis put in, he recited the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And then this poor Christian got up, and he hadn't the oratorical skills of the great orator, but with faltering lips, he repeated the psalm. And after the psalm had been repeated by the orator, there was a great applause. But after the poor Christian had recited the psalm, there was just a silence. And the orator got up and he said, "You know, the difference between this man and me is that I know the 23rd psalm, but this man knows the shepherd." And the silence was because of the fact that God was there in the midst. And oh, today, can we not stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Many years ago, the two men were out on a walking holiday in Snowdonia. And as they walked, they met a poor shepherd boy. A leperate boy was out there looking after the sheep. And they thought that they would teach this boy something of faith, because the boy really was ignorant. He had spent his days out in the out in the mountains, out in the Snowdon Mountains, and he really had learned very little. He hadn't gone to school in those days or anything else. So the men thought, "We will teach him, the Lord is my shepherd." And in order to teach him, they took the fingers of his left hand, and they said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And they went over it again, "The Lord is my shepherd." And they got the young boy to repeat it, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he eventually got it, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he could point it out in his hand. And the men said, "You know, the Lord can be your shepherd. You know, you're looking out after the sheep." And the boy had a great knowledge of sheep and all the rest. And he recognized that he was a poor, straying sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. And he knew that he needed a shepherd. And as the men explained about the Lord being their shepherd, the boy came to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as his shepherd. Next year, the two men were walking in the same region. And they felt that they should go and see if they could find the boy. And they went out to the place where he had been the year before. They couldn't see him, but they saw a little cottage, and they knocked the door. And there was a woman there, and they asked the woman if she knew anything about the little shepherd boy that had been out in the fields. And they described him. And the woman brought them in, and on the mantelpiece there was a photograph of this little boy. And a sad look crossed the eyes of the woman, and she said, "You know, the boy has died. There came a storm, a real bad storm one night out in the mountains. And he was caught out there, and he had to stay out there. He couldn't get home all night, and he perished with the cold and from exposure out on the mountain." She said there was a funny thing about him. When the rescuers went out to find him, they said that when they went to find him, when they looked at his body, he was holding the fourth finger of his left hand like that. He says that's the way he died, with holding the left finger, or the finger, or the fourth finger of his left hand. And of course, the men knew what that meant, because He was saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And what a wonderful thing there, out dying of exposure in the cold with nobody to help him and not being able to get home. Who was there? His shepherd. The Lord was my shepherd. I wonder, is he your shepherd? No matter what life may throw at us, no matter what storms may come, can you say, the Lord is my shepherd today? Is he yours? That's an amazing thing. The Lord is the subject of this text, the great God of heaven. But then I want you to see something else. The Lord is the shepherd of the text. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, when we're reading the Bible, we should always remember not to divorce what it is saying from the context of the day, the Eastern setting in which it was written. And of course, in any day, there's a wonderful relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. But particularly, that was so with the Eastern shepherd. And the Eastern shepherd had a unique relationship with his flock. And there was a friendship that sprang up and a trust that there was between the flock. And early in the morning, the shepherd would lead his sheep out to the sheepfolds. And of course, he would lead the sheep. He wouldn't drive the sheep as they do in this land. The sheep would follow him. They knew his voice. They would follow his voice. And he would then sit down with the sheep all day. He would stay out there in the fields with the sheep all day, and he would guard them from any animals that might come, and robbers or wild animals that might come, and he would bring them then to the watering place so that they would quench their thirst in the hot eastern sun. And then at night he would take them and he would lead them down the fields again into the fold where they would shelter during the night. And he would change the pastures and he would bring them to new pastures and fresh pastures. And he would look after the lambs and he would look after those that had strayed. And he would search and over the tracts of land for any that had strayed. And we think of how the shepherd would know them by name. And thank God for this great picture of the good shepherd. And you know, we think here of the good shepherd who has given his life for us. And I want you to think about the cost to the shepherd. It cost the shepherd, you see, to have the flock. It would cost him, first of all, to purchase the flock. And then it would cost him to look after the flock and to feed the flock. I was looking at a book by Philip Keller, and it is entitled A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, because Philip Keller was a shepherd in his day. And he remembers with fondness the first flock that he purchased. And he said it was especially dear to him because he remembered the price that he had to pay for that flock. And he remembered that it was through the sweat of his brow and through the tears and through the labor of his own body that he had to win and gain the money in order to buy that first flock. And that cemented a bond between him and the flock because of the price that he paid. And he wanted to look after them because this was an investment of his own hard-earned cash. And we think of what it says about the Lord Jesus in John chapter 10, he says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep, the hireling fleeing because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. You see, the hireling, the man that had been hired in to look after the sheep, doesn't really care because it's not his money, it's not his investment. Remember what the Lord said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The price that he paid in laying down his own life, what a price that was. The price that he paid, no greater price than the life of the blessed Son of God. And we think of how the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned every one to his own way. And the sheep is the dumbest of animals and strays into danger. But thank God for the fact, for the cost the Savior pays in laying down his life and the cost that he pays in giving to us and providing for us and in safeguarding us day by day. The cost to the shepherd. But then I want you to think about the care of the shepherd. You think of the hireling there. The Bible says he careth not for the sheep. But what is the implication? The good shepherd cares for the sheep. He careth for you. He cares. He cares. And he cares in guiding the sheep. The Eastern shepherd, as I say, didn't drive the sheep. He led the sheep to the pasture. He led them to the place where they could find the pasture that they needed. Sometimes they would have to be led through trackless deserts in order to get to the place. And the sheep didn't know where they were going, but the shepherd knew. And sometimes they were going through places where there was no pasture, but the shepherd knew where he was going. And sometimes we don't know where we're going and what is the way that we should go. But you know, we put our hand on the hand of the shepherd and we follow his voice because he knows where we should go. And when we're worried and when we're in difficulty and when we wonder what we're going to do, thank God there is a shepherd. There's one who cares. And thank God there's one who safeguards us and knows our future. He guides the sheep. Not only do we think of his guidance to the sheep, but his gentleness to the sheep. The Lord has the shepherd's tenderness. There is no lamb that he'll not carry. There is no saint that is so weak, but he will lift them up. He will carry them in his bosom. And under his wings will we trust. And when the storm is blowing, thank God he puts us in his bosom. He's the gentle shepherd. We have not an high priest which is not able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There's one who sympathizes for us, with us, because he has gone through all the difficulties that we face. Not only does the guidance of the sheep and the gentleness to the sheep, but there's the guardian of the sheep. He guards like the shepherd in the east. And when there's one that is missing and strayed away, he goes after that sheep. I wonder if the Lord is going after you today if you strayed, you got into trouble, into difficulty because you wandered away. How often it is that we get ourselves into trouble because we think we know the way that we should go ourselves. And all it does is get us into the real difficulty that we should not be in. But thank God today there is one who guides and guards and safeguards the sheep. Oh, may we put ourselves in the hand of the mighty God of heaven. So the Lord is the subject of the text. And the Lord is the shepherd of the text. Well, one more thing I want you to see, and that's the Lord is the supplier of the text. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And amid all the sorrows and all the difficulties and all the lack that there is in this old world, thank God the Lord supplies the need of his people. There's a tremendous confidence here. There's a wonderful promise that we can rely upon. C.H. Spurgeon once said of this promise, I do not know where there's a larger one. And we think of how the Lord says, no good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. Now that's a mercy. If it had been no thing at all, then we would get so many things that would not do us good. There are many things that we want that we do not, that would not be good for us if we got them. But the Lord says, no good thing will I withhold from them that walk upright. The one who fed Elijah by the ravens, the one who sent the manna from above, the one who was able to supply the needs of the children of Israel walking through that desert. Thank God the Lord supplies our every need. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You know, the great men of faith like Müller, like Luther, they were men that knew that God would supply their need. So often we mistrust that. It's like the wee boy that was praying for a bicycle for Christmas. And he was praying at the top of his voice. And his mother said to him, you know, God's not deaf. He says, no, but Granny might be upstairs. And he wasn't looking to the Lord. It was Granny upstairs that he was really praying to. And you know, sometimes we can be like that. You know, we can depend upon the Lord and really we're looking to somebody else. But I'm glad. You know, it's amazing sometimes when you look at the stories of these things, I don't know if I ever told you of the story of a missionary who had been working in Thailand and was on a short holiday, a short break. She was in India. And it came to the time, she was going back to Thailand, she was getting onto a train, and it was going to Calcutta. And the train journey, in the midst of it all, she dozed off, missed her stop. And when she realized what had happened, she was seized with horror because she had no money. All she had was the ticket for the onward journey from Calcutta. But she hadn't anything else. And she got off of the stop where they stopped, and she was in a blind panic. She didn't know what to do. She had no money. And the coolies, they were running to lift her bags. This white woman, they felt they were going to get money from lifting her bag, but she shooed them away. She said, "I've no money." And they were absolutely furious with this woman that wouldn't let them lift her bags. But as she was struggling with the bags through the turnstile, this man came and took hold of the bags and ran off in front of her, and she ran after him. She didn't know what he was doing. He says to her, I suppose you'll need a taxi. He says, travel with me. And he put the bags in the taxi, and he asked her where she was going, and he says, I'll leave you off. And as she was journeying, she was struggling with herself. She said, how am I going to tell this man that I can't pay part of this price of the taxi? And eventually she said, well, I have to do it. And she said to the man, you know, I have no money. I can't help you with the price of this taxi. He says, oh, no worry. He says, I'm not expecting you to pay. He says, I'm a Christian and I would like to do this for you because I am a Christian. And you know what had happened? God had supplied her need. God had met her at the point of her need. And you know, sometimes we don't know too much of that today because we don't depend on God the way that some of the old missionaries depended. But he says, I shall not want. Later on, David said looking back on his life, he said that he had not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God had supplied their need, and he supply our need today. So you may be in worry and difficulty, but if you can say the Lord is my shepherd, then we have a shepherd who will meet our need. Now, if you don't know the Lord as your shepherd today, then you have nobody to rely upon. You have nothing to lean upon. You can lean upon yourself, and you can get by in some degree and measure, and that's okay until the real crisis of life begins to bite. You need a shepherd. And I hope today you'll be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, that you may come to that relationship with him and be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank thee for thy precious word today. We do thank thee that we can say the Lord is my shepherd. And our God, we thank thee for each one in our meeting who can say the same. And we pray for that mercy, for that grace to be bestowed by which men and women might close in with thy great offer of mercy. Do us good now and bless thy word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen.